hear the word of God. And as they're gathering their candy, I invite all those to take out your Bibles, open the word of God to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. It is the parable of the sower. In your pew Bibles, you'll find that on page 1520. 1520. So hear then the word of the Lord. Same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. And there was such a large crowd gathered around him that when he got into the boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. The sun came up, plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Going to jump down to the explanation of this for our purposes today. So if you turn to, or just go drop down to verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the devil comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Expectations are everything, right? We're expecting something. You look forward to a vacation. You plan for it. You've worked out in your mind exactly how it's going to unfold. Down to the minute details, you are so full of hope and anticipation, right? And then the day comes, and you're there, and it's not exactly what you had expected. Maybe you didn't factor in the fact that it's going to be raining and cold. And maybe the room that you had booked was not quite what you had looked forward to. Not as you had pictured it. The scene that you had seen in the brochures didn't factor in that there was a house right next door to that. And what happens is you didn't also factor in that the long plane ride, the delays, and it's not quite turning out. Everybody around you, including yourself, is cranky. And you say to yourself, this isn't what I expected. So expectations are a lot. And adjusting to life when our expectations don't turn out the way we think they should be can be difficult and even painful. In our story today, that it's about the crowd. They came to Jesus with great expectations. Everyone who came there came with some vision in their mind of a better world. They imagined it could be better. Part of being a Jew at that time was the hopeful expectation of a Messiah that was coming. And there was rumors around that this man could very well be the Messiah, the promised one who is coming. And in their minds, they began to have expectation. Here was somebody that was going to come and overthrow the conquering army and kick him out of the land. He was going to judge them and crush all evil under his feet. And they were going to be free to live in freedom. Well, that was fueled by John the Baptist, who at the beginning of his ministry said to the people around him, he said, hey, he's coming. The kingdom of God is right at hand. It's almost like you can see the door handle turning and the king is about to come in. So they had great expectations. Jesus didn't help that at all. He made it even greater when he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And then he backed it up. He backed it up with the healings. The teaching that they had heard from coming from his mouth was unlike anything that they had heard before. And there they came, and they saw people who were lame walking, those who were blind receiving their sight, those who were mute, he enabled them to talk. This is the time. They were expecting great things. And so here we are in Matthew 13. We find that crowd gathering around Jesus, bubbling over with expectancy. Something good is going on. Can you picture the scene? Here comes Jesus Christ. Maybe he lifts his hands up in the boat and the crowd goes quiet. And they're on their tiptoes. And he's telling them a message. And what he says is, listen, I'm going to summarize this a little bit. Jesus said, there was a sower. He's planting seed. It's not going very well. Seed is falling everywhere. But most of it is wasted. And some of it yields a good crop. Thank you very much for coming. I hope you found that helpful. If you have ears to hear, listen. The end. You could hear a pin drop. This is not what we were expecting. Not at all. Why did Jesus tell this story? I think he wanted to encourage his disciples to know what life with him was really going to be like. And secondly, he wanted them to know what life is going to require. What is life with Jesus really like? Well, the Gospel of Luke. A man came up to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, I am going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus didn't say to that man, great, sign up, let's go. Instead, he gave the man a picture of reality. He said, foxes have dens, birds have nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, if you're going to follow me, you better recalibrate your expectations. It's not going to be what you imagined. It's going to be much more difficult. It's going to be really hard. Have you considered that? Are you ready, he's saying to that disciple, to follow me no matter what? To choose me over family? To choose me over creaturely comforts? Listen carefully. Following Jesus is going to cost us something. And Jesus wants us to know that. There's three things that we want to consider. We have to think about division. We have to think about delay. We have to think about disappointment. Go with division first. Jesus said, I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemy will be those of his own household. And whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves sons or daughters more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. In other words, you better expect division. Now, it doesn't mean, as some want to say, that he's telling us hate our family. No, not at all. But it surely means that if you have to choose between Jesus and your family, you better choose Jesus every time or not. Your love for Jesus has to take priority. You have to love Jesus so much that by comparison, your love for your family seems like hatred. That is the division that takes place. Notice in this parable, the sower went to sow, and as he was sowing his seed, some seed does one thing, some seed does another thing. The response of the different kind of soils is the key to this passage. Different types of responses to the Word of God. The path response, it responds one way. The rocky ground responds another way. The thorns another, and the good soil respond in a unique way. Only one farmer that's sowing the seed, and the farmer is planting his seeds. I can almost imagine the eagerness with which the farmer goes out and plants his seed everywhere. So eager when spring arrives that he got the seed ready to go in his barn, and before he's out of the door, he's already dropping the planter and the seed is going everywhere. Can you imagine that kind of a farmer? But there's one seed, and that seed that Jesus is referring to here is the message of the kingdom. In verse 11, he says, he told his disciples in between those two passages we read that the knowledge of the secret kingdom of heaven has been given to you. You and I, followers of Jesus Christ, are entrusted with his word. Jesus tells his disciples that it has been given to them, but not to everybody. What do you expect when you share this gospel with somebody else? You're going to get different responses depending on the type of soil. Every heart represents one of those kind of soils. You'll share the good news about Jesus with some, and they may look at you and they'll say, I have no idea what you're talking about. Or another person will say something like, I think I'm really excited about this. It's good. But can I just have Jesus Christ and have what I want to? Another person will come along and say something like, I didn't come here for that. I don't have time for that. I'm too busy in life. When I get older, when I get free, after I'm done working, then I'll work for Jesus Christ. I'm too busy right now. Another response. And once in an odd while, someone will say, tell me more. Brings us to our second point. There's not only going to be division when we proclaim the word, but there's going to be delay. Seeds grow slowly over time. Who waits for anything? We live in a day and age in which we push buttons, make calls, order on Amazons. We get things instantly. Results are always there for us. It's not like that in real life. Life with Jesus is more organic. It takes time to grow. It's like a seed. It's like a vine. It takes time to develop and grow. Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Any seed in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts it off, while every fruit in me that does bear seed, he prunes it. There's a work going on in the heart. Seeds take time to grow. It germinates, it grows, it deepens roots, it buds, flowers, and ripens through the stages. There's delay. I want you to take that as an encouragement. If you are a Sunday school teacher, you've been teaching year in and year out, and you wonder if anything is actually being received. It takes time. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, parents, as you see your children growing up. You say, what are they going to be like, my son and daughter, as I project their life into the future? Are they going to make a difference for the kingdom wherever they are planted? It takes time. There's delay there. Fruitfulness takes time. Pruning is difficult. And cultivating is ongoing work constantly. Be encouraged. Thirdly, there's disappointment. Results are so hard to come by. Realistically, if you look at the seeds, only about a fourth of the seed that was scattered about produced a harvest. A lot of seed never even germinated. It's dried out by the sun. It's eaten by the birds. It's choked out by the weeds. People leave the fellowship. Christian colleges close down. They close their doors not because of lack of trying, not because they're being unfaithful, but because the soil's not right. The seed is so small. The harvest is so underwhelming. And this is disappointing. And Jesus says, expect it. That's why in Matthew 22, verse 14, Jesus said, many are invited, but few are chosen. So much effort, so little result. We may wonder, how can God be working in and through us? Over time, the smallness of the seed is so overwhelming. Lives are given to plant seed. For what? Where are we seeing it? It's estimated that there are 2.4 billion Christians in this world today. The total number of people is 8 billion. When is that number going to change? It can be so discouraging from our vantage point. But it's not the final verdict. Life with Jesus is living in an upside-down world. Revelation 7, verse 9, John sees a picture of what's going to happen. People from every tribe, nation, language, and tongue are going to be gathered. You begin to see that there's something greater going on behind the scenes, underground where you can't see it so well, the fruit that's coming. John says, after this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and the Lamb. Behind that scene, unnoticed seed is landing on the heart. And that's encouraging too. That's what life with Jesus is like. It's going to be hard and difficult, but hang in there, brothers and sisters. What does Jesus require? Here's one thing. This passage points to it. We need to be good listeners. Not to just let the word of God go in one ear and out the other. The kingdom of God comes to those who truly listen. You see that throughout this passage. Verse 9 says, if you have ears, listen. Jesus told his disciples, he speaks parables to everyone, though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear. In verse 15, he talks about calloused hearts. Hard hearts make people hard of hearing. And yet, by verse 16, he says, blessed are your ears, those of you who are in Christ. Blessed are your ears because your ears hear. Now the question is, are you a good listener? Four kinds of listening that's going on here today. There could be hard ground. I imagine in the sound of my voice, there are hard-hearted listeners. You hear the words that I'm articulating. You hear the words that have been proclaimed from the Scripture. You might even know the stories of the Bible inside out, but it never penetrates your heart. You just don't understand. If God's word never pierces your heart, then you are like the seed on the rocky that falls on rocky ground. That's your heart. There's another kind of listening that's seeds in the rock. Some seeds fall in the rock. That's shallow listening. It's like people who receive the gospel. They hear a pastor proclaim the word. They read a portion of scripture and they think, this is great. And they're filled with joy and enthusiasm until they realize the sacrifice that's going to be involved in naming the name of Jesus Christ and listening to the words. So the roots do not go very deep. They were never truly converted. Even though it seemed like it for a time, they never stuck with it. They never kept following Jesus Christ. They're not really convicted of sin, never really turning from their sinful ways. That's the seed in the rock. And then there's the seed in the thorns. It's a divided heart. Because in this group, this is the scary one. Because this is the kind of heart that is usually found in the church. We look like Christians, we act like Christians, but we're not bearing fruit in our life for the kingdom. They talk the talk, but never walk the walk. They say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but you do not see evidence of fruit in their life. If you are in this group, you are probably miserable. You're like that branch that Jesus was talking about, that there's deadness, there's no connection to Jesus Christ himself. Your affections are choked. You love two masters, but you can't serve them both. You have to choose who you're going to serve today. You can't choose unless the Holy Spirit grabs hold of your heart and helps you with that. That brings us to the fourth kind of listening, using the Word of God as your fixed point, your North Star, your guide on your way. Are you listening? Do you love the Word of God more than anything else in your life? Are His commands on your heart? I mean, really on your heart. Is that something that you long for daily? All of us struggle with it, but how is your relationship with God's Word? Do you, as Moses said so long ago in Deuteronomy, impress them on your children? Do you talk about the Word of God at home? About Bible stories, about what you're learning together? Do you talk about it when you travel on the road? Is your Bible a well-worn friend, or is it just collecting dust on a shelf somewhere? Life with Jesus requires a soft heart. A heart that says, Lord, you know best, not me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Moving towards application. First, a word of caution. Don't expect too much when you proclaim the word. Get the word out there in any way, shape, or form. Be that eager farmer that is just out there planting the seed, but don't expect too much from those who hear. A lot of people listen to the word. They hear it read. They hear it proclaimed. Only some are truly hearing, and there's a mystery to that. I acknowledge that. Only some are truly grafted into the life of Jesus and are given hearing hearts. I pray that it may be everyone here today that has that hearing heart. In Matthew 11, 25 through 27, Jesus said this as he talked to his Father in heaven. He said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. See, the mystery is that God has hidden the gospel message in the parable. Only those who God chooses will truly hear. It's a caution, but there's also a warning to all of us. Be careful how we listen. In this room, everyone can hear, but not everyone is listening. Ask yourself honestly, is my heart hard? Is it like the seed falling on hard ground? Nothing sticks. Is it a kind of a, how dare you judge me, Pastor, kind of a listening? Or is it a rocky soil? You love Jesus as long as it's benefiting you, but the minute it gets hard, you turn from Jesus. Maybe it's a thorny soil kind of listening. I love Jesus, but I just don't have time for him. My life is too busy. Every excuse that I can to get away, it's from the Word of God I seem to take. Or is it, and I pray that this is all of us, good soil listening, lifelong listening. There is no season in life where we're not hungering more, to know more about God, to know more about Jesus, to know more about his plan for our life. See, the soil's job is to receive the seed. If your heart, if my heart is hard, or there are rocks and thorns there, then it's the gardener's job to get it out for sure. Ask God to remove them. May those who have ears to hear listen carefully to what the Spirit is saying to you today. Amen. Almighty God and gracious Father, the true understanding of your word helps us to grow and to bear fruit. Do whatever it takes, Lord, here in our midst to soften hard hearts so that your word can take root and grow and bear fruit. Plant your word deep into our hearts. May we grow strong against the attacks of our enemy. Give us hearts that are not weighed down by the cares or concerns that choke out our spiritual vitality. May we hear and understand your word and desire with all your heart, enabled by your Holy Spirit, to follow you. Do whatever it takes, Lord, to make that happen to us so we may be numbered among those who are gathered around your throne, every nation, tribe, language, and tongue, because we have listened to your word and understood. How we need your grace in that, dear Jesus. Amen.